am live with Vance Rogers.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. Vance is coming to you today from the Corbett Station 62 Firehouse. I don't think I've ever talked or been on the line from here, but it seemed like a very safe, warm, conducive place to have a conversation with. And I think I've interviewed my dad before. I think. Yeah, he's nodding his head yes. And we're just going to have some fun here and tell a few stories. And I'm thinking, I'm hoping, my prayer, my goal is that our journey over the last 28 years, the Rogers family, but more so his, of what got his interest, what kept his interest, what piqued it, and then fast forward all the way 28 years later to today. But I want to set a precedent here. It is still Heart Healthy Month, and our country's focus seems to be how can we do some things that would alter or give us the kind of the edge. And I think it's ironic that 2 weeks ago, a young man who now owns 7 Super Bowl rings, and what some of the media tended to focus on and others kind of ignored and wrote it off as lost because he makes so much money, he can afford a personal chef to cook that way. But not only has, as our family calls him, Pretty Boy Brady, the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, formerly of the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, not only does he eat heart healthy, but he doesn't consume sugar or processed foods, if at all. But the big thing is maintaining this heart. And we're going to kind of go back and forth on that. And talking about not only the physical heart, but the mental aptitude and the opportunity that we have to be heart-friendly when we're talking about Nikan, when we're sharing with other people. But because there's a lot of, I think, my father's journey, Denny Rogers' story, that a lot of us have never heard. And I get to see this on a day-to-day basis and making the transition from one profession, a radical profession, radical transition, and I can go back and recount experiences and part of my family history, but how does that apply to us, and how can we make that? And some of us, it takes a little longer, especially when you're 30-plus years in one industry and then making that part change. So, anyways, Dad, first of all, thank you. And I'm going to just hand my phone over, and if you can, we call it the elevator speech, but it's a little different for some of us, but talk about your first introduction to Nikan. I know it was Dennis and Ruth Williams at the San Antonio airport, and but what got your attention and what was going on in your life then, and why did you say yes to Nikan?
Yeah, you think about it, it's been 30 years since it was October 23rd, I remember the exact date, October 23rd. 1992, that we got introduced to Nikan, and we were getting on an airplane in San Antonio, Texas, and we're at the airport, and Dennis, I knew Dennis vaguely, I probably seen him 2 or 3 times, so I didn't know him as a friend at all, really, but anyway, he walked over to us, and make a long story short, just handed me a packet of information about Nikan, and when he handed it to me, it was just a blank envelope, you know, 8.5 by 11, and he said, Jenny, you might find this interesting. He didn't say, look at this, it's Nikan, you know, Japanese company or any of that. He just said, look at it. So we're on the airplane, and the funny thing is that we weren't headed home. The story goes is that we weren't headed home to Portland, Oregon. We were headed to Dallas, Texas from San Antonio to go visit my wife's family. And so what the funny thing is that we would have not have been to meet Dennis and Ruth if we had been going home to Portland, Oregon. So that's the scary thing if you think about it. And so anyway, we get on the airplane and I'm reading this information about Nikan and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was from Japan and had been started in 75 and that type thing. And there were some testimonies in there about people, how they've got dramatic results with the product and blah, blah, blah. But then Dennis was smart enough to put, he knew I was in business, but he put a check in there for $9,600, and that's what they had earned the ninth month, I think eighth or ninth month of the business. And so that kind of got my attention. I said, I've been in the sheet metal business for 34 years at that time and never made that kind of money that went directly into my bank account. I mean, I'd made money, but it always went away as fast as I made it because, you know, you have bills to pay, employees to pay, and all the overhead and expenses, taxes, and that type of thing to pay. You never have nothing probably at the end. So anyway, I made enough money to put food on the table, if I put it that way. So I wasn't really hurt from that. But anyway, when I came back, it really kind of got my attention. My wife was sitting next to me on the airplane, and what was interesting about it, Ruth had introduced her a little bit at the airport about the insoles for your shoes. And so she told Ruth to order a pair of them, and so that was it. And so I didn't even know that. And so when I showed my wife that check, she just went off the rack, off the wall, and said, I'm not interested. I want nothing to do with business, another business, that type of thing. And I said, well, I'm kind of interested because I want to order some of this stuff because I had a severe back problem. And so, but the money really kind of caught my attention to the point where I wanted to really get more involved. So I said, I want to order some of this stuff. She said, I already have. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, I ordered some insoles. She said, I ordered two pair. And I said, oh, good, I get a pair. She said, no, one for me and one for my mom. Didn't think of me about me and my bad back at all. So as the story went, it was, we got the products, and when they all came to our home, you know, we didn't realize what any of this stuff was. So we called Dennis up, and he was nice enough to drive 4 hours from Yakima, Washington to our area and show us how all the stuff worked. And what really kind of got my attention, got me thinking, was that he said, here, Denny, lay down on the floor here on this mattress set, and I'll give you a rollout. And here I'm thinking, this guy's making almost 10 grand a month rolling back. I said, I've been rolling sheet metal for 34 years, and I've never made that kind of money before. And I figured, well, that's a pretty simple deal. I can do that. So anyways, the story goes, my wife got instant results with the insoles, and I started using and wearing them all the products. And 3 days later, I got up, and I was still having the problem, and I noticed a bunch of snake oil, the stuff don't work. And my wife proceeded to say, well, some people are different. You know, Dennis did say it takes a little longer for some people than does others. And I said, okay, I'll give it 2 weeks. And so when the fifth day I woke up, and I was jumping up and down like a yo-yo, you couldn't believe it. My wife said, what, are you nuts or something? I said, yeah, but it doesn't hurt anymore. My back problem went away, and that's been 30-some years ago, and I can knock on wood, and I haven't had the problem. And I was dealing with that problem for, 18 years with that back problem.
And I want to add a little commentary here because, and give them a break to take a sip of water because, right off, we live in a little town called Corbett, Oregon, and we were doing putting gutters on our roof for concept construction just off of Corbett Lane. And I'll never forget that day because Dad and I had a routine that I'd jump up on the roof, start getting the measurements. I think I'd yell down or throw them down on a block of wood. But my point is this, that when I got back to the truck, he usually was, as he said earlier, rolling gutters. You know, and if we were rolling gutter, we were making money. And the whole goal wasn't to make money, but just try and stay ahead of all the gigs that kept coming our way. But he was standing there that day. That was that fifth day that he'd been using the products. And he was just standing there. And I looked at him, and I said, Dad, is everything okay? And he looked at me, and he said, well, yeah, I'm not used to this. And I said, what? He said, my back's not hurting. And I literally, I didn't say it out loud. I guess I should have, but I looked kind of around, and I looked at him, and in my mind, what I thought was, okay, who's this guy, and where did my father go? Because I went back in 24 years of my memory, and I could not remember him ever saying his back wasn't hurting. And I thought, okay, now what is this stuff all about? That's kind of what got my attention. But I want to, Dad, if you wouldn't mind, I want to focus in on, you know, there was a huge transition, and I want to, in the story here, I don't want to cut you off or cut you short, because that was what kind of, as they say in the state of Missouri, and by the way, it's Missouri, it's not Missouri, okay, it's not Oregon, there's no... I saw a congressman this last week call it Oregon, and I'm like, you know how to spell it, sir. Did you ever study the Oregon Trail? No, Oregon. Okay, there's no E on it. Anyway, sorry. My family gets really upset when the hamster goes sideways in my brain. But looking back at the experience of, as they say in the state of Missouri, you know, the show me state, you know, or others in Eakin have said, you know, seeing is believing, then feeling is the truth. The check you saw, that got your attention. Because again, in any industry, when you can see the proof, and I like the way that Mom says it, a check is not everything, but it's a pretty good scorecard of something's working. And we've seen that. I love the way that Karen Willens says to me, you know, Vance, the neatest thing about Neekin is every year that 1099 they send me keeps going up. If we continue to share, if we continue with any business, with any job, when you continue to do the same thing over and over and over, and it's working, and you're making impact in people's lives, it does change. But the biggest thing, and we're going to experience this later today in the training, we've got humans being more going on nonstop, but you experienced just a few days later, I think it was in November of 1992, you drove to, was it Tacoma, or where you went for your first, we called it silver training back then, but Tacoma, humans being more. And you got exposed to something way different than your father or anything you'd ever learned in the sheet metal or construction industry. And I want to talk about that because it focuses in on the heart. So that's a very open-ended question, but take us back to that experience and some of the things that you did. And I know you put on paper some goals of making a transition.
Yeah, that was really an interesting day. I think back, tears come to my eyes when I think about that. But when we went to silver training, it really opened my eyes up about helping other people. And, you know, the story is if you help enough people get what you want, or help them get what they want, will help you get what you want. So as things progressed along, it was February 15th that I made the transition of getting out of the sheet metal business. And the day I knew that, that's when the checks came out on the 15th. And it was a check for about $8,000. And that just blew me away. I couldn't believe it because in 5 months' time, we went from zero to $8,000. And so anyway, when I decided to get out of the sheet metal business, none of my boys at the time wanted anything to do with it. So I basically sold all the equipment, kept the building, and then rented it out. And then we progressed along from there, and it's just been amazing how things have progressed.
Okay, sorry about that, folks. Just so many of you who have been texting nonstop. I don't know exactly where we got disconnected. But, Dad, why don't you take us back to walking into that car dealership? Different way of doing business than you'd ever done before.
Yeah, it was really interesting because when you walk into the dealership, this was a Acura dealership, matter of fact, and I said, I want that car there, and I don't want to give any money down, but I want to pay what's the highest payment you can make a month? And it looked at me kind of funny. And then the payment was over like $500 or $600 a month, which was no big deal when you were, and I showed him a check that we'd been receiving for about $25,000. Well, anyway, from the time I walked in to the time I walked out, it was about 4 hours. I walked out of there. I drove out of there with that car at 8 o'clock at night with that key in there. I mean, with that car, I never paid a dime down. So that was pretty interesting to know. And then from there, it's been, I think they've ended up buying us about 5 or 6 cars. I can't remember now, but I know they've bought us 5 or 6 motorhomes, and being able to travel around the country with these motorhomes, and it's been a joy of being able to see people, meet people, and I know many times the last motorhome, the last big motorhome we had, it's pretty impressive when you can call up and drive up and say, somebody walks up and says, is this Kenny Rogers' motorhome? You know, this will happen, I was parked next to Kenny Rogers' motorhome in Anaheim, California one time when he performed for us. But anyway, it's been a real joy, and I just sit and think about all the places we've been, all the people we've met. It's been an uphill joy, to enjoy all this and meet new people all over the country. And I guess Texas, you might say, is my favorite spot to go and travel and meet so many neat Texans. And so many things have happened in Texas. I found the Lord in Texas. I found Meek in Texas. And my grandkids are going to Texas. My kids went to Texas. And it's just been, Texas has been a hard spot. A love of my life, you might say. But anyway, what else would you like me to cover, Vince?
I think one of the other things is at Silver Training, again, we call it humans being more, is taking some time out, and now we get to do it all via Zoom, comfort of our own home or wherever we choose to be. And Jeff Isom, in his brilliance, has taken a two-day experience down to just 5 hours. And, of course, it's not the same. It's just like going and watching a concert on, you know, TV or a movie versus being there live. But one of the greatest things that we get to do is tiny habits. I know in the sheet metal industry, there's just simple little tricks that your dad taught you, you taught your son, now we're teaching your grandson. And we do it a little differently. We don't have the stresses that you had in the conventional business. And I can honestly say that what my brother and I, we don't work, we play. And there are most days where we don't want to go play in the rain or in the snow or in the freezing rain. So we don't. We adapt. But I really want to have you talk about that humans being more, that Silver Training experience. And when you made the decision to, as you said, February 15th was a goal for you, the day after your birthday, which is a huge thing to actually put something on paper and then be able to make that transition. And I don't want to get emotional, but I remember living in Oklahoma, and I remember Mom writing me a letter, and she said, your father is having a tough time making the transition from impacting people's homes, putting gutters or sheet metal on it, to impacting their hearts. And something along those lines, because she said he keeps going down to the shop and he's sorting nuts and bolts and sorting stuff that he should just throw away when he could be on the phone and reminding people, hey, we've got this meeting scheduled. But I, just talk about a little bit about that, if you can. How important is it? I mean, when you have a set of blueprints, and I know how to do this now, I self-taught, but watching you take a set of blueprints and come up with what it's going to cost that company or that person to put gutters on or metal roof, but now the importance of putting on paper a goal like you did back February 15th, 1993, to make that huge transition, that heart change. How important is that?
Well, that was pretty, you might say, a difficult time for me, but the fact was that my wife kept insisting, put it down. And when you go through humans one more at a time moving through, you'd put it up a goal, you might say a goal board or whatever, and you'd cut pictures out and place them down. And what was really, really interesting, I picked out a motorhome. I figured I'd never get it, you know. And almost 2 years to the date, the exact motorhome that I cut on that picture, same color, same scheme, everything, I was able to purchase, or actually Nikon bought it for me, and that just kind of blew me away, by putting your goals down and what your feelings are. And that's what I might emphasize the most on, is people will write it down and visualize it, they can see it. And it really makes a dramatic change in their life and it impacts everybody else that they work with.
You know, and one of the neat things about that is that when we do make the decision to make a goal, put it on paper, I quote this all the time, and I learned this from a mentor of mine, Dave Stoltz, who said, you know, in the Old Testament, Habakkuk said, you write it down, you make it plain, so other people can see it. And we don't have to blast it around, we don't have to put it on the side of our car or on a bumper sticker, we see that a lot. You know, it needs to be attainable, but at the same time, it needs to be something a bit bigger. I want to transition because now into talking about what you're doing now. Totally different than anything, but it really pushes the envelope, and I think it's apropos that we're sitting here in the fire station, because that's one of my healthy society contributions, except I can't control when somebody calls 911, so that makes it kind of fun. But you're spending a lot of your time giving back to a community, to a society that's given us as a family so much, and you're involved in a food recovery program called Helping Hands. And talk a little bit about that, and maybe a story or two that pops into your mind. And then, I know we've got time here. We can open it up for a little bit of Q&A, because I know there's a lot of stuff that we didn't even cover or hit on. But talk about Helping Hands and why. Because that's something, by the way, that back in 2007 you kept telling me, you should do this, Vance. You should do this. You should be a driver for them. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do that and do this? But I did start first. But and now what you're doing on a week-to-week or even day-to-day and what that is. And I'm hoping people can see and understand that you got to do something. You got to get out of your box, your comfort zone, and go do something and give back, because we end up gaining all the more. But talk about Helping Hands.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting because a good friend, my best friend up here, he died of Lou Gehrig's disease. And matter of fact, Steve Hartman interviewed him. And one of the interesting things that he said when he was dying, Steve asked him, he says, what's the most interesting thing about your situation? And he said, that I'm dying slowly. And it just blew Steve completely off. The question just blew him away, or the answer just blew him away. He said, what did you say? He says, well, I'm dying slowly. And he said, why is that? And he says, well, that way I can tell all my friends goodbye. And so, it's unrelated, but the fact is it really made an impact on my life. What am I doing in my life? Not doing really anything for anybody else. And so, like Van said, he started driving up here, volunteering first, and then he got busy and said, here, Dad, you can take my job. So I was doing one little run a week, and now I'm up to where I'm doing, like Thursday, I did four runs. I put on over 150 miles going to actually places like Costco and picking up their donation stuff. But anyway, how it progressed along and how I've got to know so many people in the community now and been able to help people, and it's just been unbelievable how it's transpired into my life and being able to help people. I'm trying to figure out what else I could say about it. Oh, well, one of the interesting things that I've been able to really help our food program is that we started out in a little pickup, and then we got a pretty good sized cargo trailer. Then I got a little box van I've been driving, and then I was up at one of our vendors that give us some stuff throughout every week, and they happened to get three new trucks in a matter of 6 months. I'm saying to Phil, he's the one that manages it, I says, how do you get these new trucks? And he says, well, we got a good grant writer. And I said, well, man, I want to know that grant writer's name. But I said, what about this other truck you got over here that their old trucks have been setting? That's a funny story, because I asked him, what's the deal? And he says, oh, we're going to give that away to some other food bank down southern Oregon. And I said, what do you want to do that for? I said, I'm up here every week. I kind of emphasized to him and giving him a bad time about he should give it to us instead of them down there, And so he said, well, he really wanted, you should get the paperwork in here. It was interesting. And I said, well, is it run? He said, yeah, I'll go get the keys. And so the lady that loaded me all the time, seeing what was going on about me, showing an interest in the truck, and she said, Denny, you really interested in that truck? And I said, sure, I really am. He said, well, how much do you think you can? She said, if you want to put a little money in there, I know that I can get it for you because I'm on the board. And I said, okay. And I said, how about $1,000? And I thought of nothing else that I would do. I got a bunch of flack from back at the home office at the food bank. I'd just say, yeah, buy it myself and donate it, So anyway, she says, okay, that's a good deal. I said, if you say $1,000, then that way I'll know I can get it for you. So anyway, as things progressed along, the guy went and got the key, and we went over and started it, and it was funny, too, because you think a truck had been sitting for 3 or 4 months, it'd sit there and crank it for a while before it started. But he put the key in and hit that key, and it just fired immediately. And that was pretty impressive, But This is an older truck, 1990, had 300,000 miles on it, but hey, it was still a good runner, you know. And so anyway, I was saying to Phil, I said, hey, Phil, we'll even throw a little money in here. And he said, oh, we can't take any money because we're, you know, non-denomination. And we're walking back a little further. And he says, well, how much money do you have in mind? And I says, $1,000. He says, well, maybe we could take that and apply it to our new forklift. And I said, oh, good, then you can give us your other forklift, huh? But as the story goes, we didn't get the forklift. But when we went to pick up the truck, I had $1,000 in my pocket. They handed me the keys, and I started, well, who do I give the money to? And Donna, as a matter of fact, it's a funny story, because Donna, who runs the place up there, she says, no, there's no money involved in it, it's yours. And I just dropped major, and I couldn't believe it, you know. And so just what happened just yesterday, or 2 days ago, what's really interesting is I was up there picking up stuff, and Donna says, hey, Denny, I run into somebody who knows you. Well, one of the other people that I take food to once in a while is a fiberglass company, and so they give me a little resin once in a while, so I take them our donations of food. She says, I know a person that just knows you, and she says, I can't remember where it's at. And he says, then on Johnson Creek Boulevard. I says, you mean McClure Plaza? That's it. So here's somebody that knew her that I knew me, you know, it's on the funny. And here's the interesting thing. We were buying tires for that truck about a week ago, and we were buying it from a church over in Vancouver. And we get to talking to this guy, and his name is Roman. And Roman knows Donna that runs the food bank going the other way. So it's unbelievable how many people around the city now know who I am and what I'm doing. So anyway, the story kind of goes, we were in a place one time, and we needed a refrigerator truck. And so I started looking around and in the papers and everything, and they were costing anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. And so I happened to run by one time, I found one in a lot. I was sitting there, and so I went in and asked the people, and they said, well, it's not really ours, it belongs to Coca-Cola, blah, blah, blah. And so I got a hold of the rep for Coca-Cola, and I told him what we were doing, that if we had a refrigerator truck, we would be able to get a little more, we'd be able to get more milk and more eggs and more cheese and that type of thing. And anyway, when I got through telling him the whole story, and he says, and the thing was the mechanic that told him that it was going to cost about $15,000 to get the truck running. And so he said, shoot, I'll just give you the truck then. I said, well, that'll work. Well, as the story goes, and we got it running, it only cost us about $1,000 to get the truck running. So there's just another story. And then where were we the other day? And I got in a, it just goes on and on how people are more giving when you tell the story about how you're giving. And it's just unbelievable how it just keeps role-playing.
If there's ever been a question of how Vance is such a great storyteller and just keeps talking and talking and talking, now you know. And both my parents are like this, by the way. But, you know, one of the things that Marty Jeffries has taught us that, you know, we tell a story, we make a point. Tell a story, we make a point. Tell a story, we make a point. The rest is just semantics. And I think the point that I see is that for years you spent in Neakin traveling around the country investing into people's lives, and a lot of times you'd only see them once. Or maybe you'd go back and you'd see them again, or maybe they weren't in Neakin, or they, you know, it didn't matter so much. But the legacy was created because, as Kathleen Duell taught us, that every dime we earn represents a person's life that was deeply impacted and has literally been, we know, globally, because you've been to places around the globe at Neakin's expense or traveling there and staying with people, whether it's in Sweden or Germany or Japan. And maybe some folks are going, well, I don't like to travel. Well, you don't have to travel. Because, what you've done here is you went from almost living full-time on the road in all these different motor coaches. Now you're doing the same thing here locally and in a different way. And literally, maybe not thousands of people, but I know hundreds of people a week are impacted by you driving around this fleet of white trucks. They all have to be white for some reason. Actually, there's a blue one now. But vehicles that have been donated, because what Helping Hands was doing is with people's vans and pickups and cars on a small scale has now gone to pallets of food and merchandise. And Folks, if you saw the tiny little facility that they operate out of, and it's just amazing. But it comes down to this, and it's something that the founder of our company, Mr. Asuma Masuda, started with in that five pillars of health concept. Healthy body, that's the way most of us get introduced to Nikan. The mind, the family, the finances, the society seems to always come last or near the end. But it's when we take care of ourselves first, you know, that heart healthy, focus in on ourselves first, and it's not selfish. As Dr. Paul Osteen taught me, self-care is not selfish. First, we got to take care of ourselves, get ourselves, at least, there's no point of being thinking we can be perfect, but as we do that, then we can reach out and help other people. I want to, if we can, I'm sure there's a few people that want to throw in a question, or maybe you've got a story you want to clarify. I'm going to switch this over to speakerphone, and I'm going to push two magic buttons here, right quick. Oops, I'm pushing the wrong button. Oh my goodness. Okay, here.
Unmuted. Muted.
So if you've got a question for Danny Rogers or my father, my dad, I never called him Pop for some reason. But, *6 on your phone line. And I know there's several of you that have been texting me, and thank you, by the way, for doing that. Otherwise, we would have never known we got disconnected.
Hey, Vance, it's Lyle.
Go ahead, Lyle.
Hey, Danny. I just want to say I do appreciate everything that he does, because I had the opportunity to see the facility and actually ride with Danny to go pick up the food for the Helping Hands, and just enjoyed every minute of it.
I forgot all about that, Lyle. You did come up here.
Yep, and you know, we're doing the same thing here, and it feels so great that you can help people in the society by, it makes you feel better than even collecting a paycheck.
Yeah. I know, I remember one time you took us to church, and we went to a men's breakfast at church, and I know I forgot that.
Yeah.
These are different things that you forget, you know, different experiences with different people around the world and stuff, and it's just unbelievable, and I can go tell you a story in Finland that I come across. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how things happen.
It is. And we'll definitely get back up that way again soon.
Ah, sounds good. If there's not any other questions or any other stories that you want to throw in here, and I want to go back to again, and if there's one point that I want to just drive the nail in the coffin, so to speak, is that the opportunity that all of us have. Maybe we're never going to be driving a big truck, picking up pallets of food or anything like that, but when we make the decision, it's been said many times, it's not when we get into Nikan, but when Nikan gets into us, when the concept of Kaizen, what can I do today with my life that I can be of impact and a blessing to other people? How can I improve myself? Because improvement is daily, okay? The Apostle Paul said, you got to work out your experience daily. He used the word salvation. You got to work it out daily. It's our responsibility. But it's a heart change. It comes with the heart. And I can look back on 28 amazing years, almost three decades that our family has been in Nikan, and how whether it's traveling or whether it's staying local, we always have the opportunity to ask more questions. And that's one thing we didn't talk about at all. And if there's one thing that my father has taught me of all the many things, it's learn how to be a professional question asker. Because we can't help people, whether it was sheet metal Because you can walk up to somebody's house and they say, well, I need gutters. Well, what kind of gutters do you need? You got to keep asking more questions. What color do you want? I mean, there's 19 different colors to choose from. Do you want this style or do you want this style? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with Nikan and any other industry. We got to ask better questions. And I'll never forget Art Moore, former professional football player. You can't call him tiny because Art is ginormous, okay? And we were on a cruise ship, which, by the way, I read this just yesterday. Down in Texas, all the Texans who had on their dream board or on their goal chart to go on an Alaskan cruise, they've now taken that off their dream board because they're not interested in going anywhere where there's that white stuff. Sorry, sidebar, no sale. But on that cruise, Art said to me, man, I just spent the dinner hour with your father, and it's more like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I feel naked. I said, why do you feel naked, Art? Because he just kept asking me questions about my life. I told him everything. I there's nothing that he doesn't know about me. I said, well, that's how you get good at anything. Just keep asking questions till you get to the heart of the matter. And, Dad, maybe you could finish, tie a bow on this conversation and talk about it. Why do you ask so many questions? What's the point in all that?
Who was the author that wrote the book, the guy that wanted to have a million friends before he died?
Oh, John Cale.
John Cale's book, and I can't remember the name of the book, but...
Being the best you can be.
Being the best you can be in MLM, yeah, right. That book probably meant it was the biggest impact on me when I read that. And it, what it emphasized real strongly one was how to ask questions. And so that really caught my attention, and I started asking people questions. And it's interesting how when you start asking questions, and people think, I quiz them, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Investigate, or?
Well, I can investigate them, you know. But
interrogate
them, you know. But they really don't realize that I'm doing it. But you can. It's really interesting when you start asking a lot of questions about people and what their lifestyle is, what they're doing, you know, how long they've been working at this and doing that. And people are really interested. They don't realize that you're asking a lot of questions to get more knowledge about them to see what you can help them with. And how that progresses along. But it's really, you know, like a little gal that works with us up at the food bank, she's retired out of the police department. She was the one that did all the fingerprinting for all the people that got arrested, that type of thing. And then know that her interests in things and how she progressed through life and that type of thing. Anyway, she didn't realize I kept asking questions about her. And one time she says, what are you asking all the questions for? And I said, just to get to know you a little better. And that's really all it amounts to, is just to get to know you a little better. So as things progress for me, I would say that's the biggest key thing about Isaiah and Nikan, is to ask a lot of questions and listen to the situation. So I don't know what else I can tell you about it.
I think we'll leave it at that, because one of the greatest things we can, and we just discussed this in the ICANN Lesson 6, is, you know, as I'm still trying, is teaching our 11-year-olds. Addie, you got two ears and one mouth. Let's use them in concordance the way God gave them to us. And if we listen and ask questions twice as much as we respond, we really do. And by the way, again, that book, the title is Being the Best You Can Be in MLM by John K. Lynch. And to reiterate what Dad said, was one of John's goals in life was to have a million friends. And he said, you know, then if I go bankrupt or if I lose it all financially, I can just ask each one of those million friends for a dollar. Just say, can you send a dollar in the mail? And who wouldn't do that? John died prematurely, but I remember meeting him, my first ever Nikan cruise back in, it was actually the day after I got fired from my last job. I decided, I'm not working for anybody else ever again. I want to work for myself. And Eakin allows us to do that. And we don't really work, but we play. We play. We play and we play. And the more we get out there and meet people, find out what their needs are. And my heart goes out to anybody that's been impacted by this storm in life, this physical storm, because we're learning how to use our heart and adapt. And first, we take care of ourselves. Ask any first responder of the 800,000 plus volunteer first responders in our nation, firefighters specifically. You first got to take care of yourself. Take care of your own physical body, and sometimes that suffers. But in your family, then you can go help other people. And I want to reiterate that. But don't spend too much time. I'm looking at my father again right now today. And 28 years after being introduced to Eakin, it was only a matter of a few days that after he got his experience that things started accelerating. And how can you earn what they earn in their fifth and sixth and seventh month in Eakin right out of the gate? Well, no other business, especially now we can join for $19 and turn it around and do what we've done. Because the products continue to get better. And they're going to always improve and all that good stuff. So if you know somebody that's suffering with a bad business or a bad back, do you think this story might help them? SaturdayAMLive.com, and just scroll down to the bottom. All the recordings are there. And I can't encourage you enough to use that. And as Chris Bruce just shared yesterday on the Eakin Sizzle call, keep using those. Every day, 5:35 p.m. on the West Coast. That's 8:35 out on the East. It's just a one-number phone call, 10 minutes long. But Chris did a beautiful job of explaining how, you know, the back is such an amazing part of our body that if we don't take care of it. But the importance of water. And my dad drank more water in the last hour while we've been sitting here than he usually does in a day because I forced him to drink it. But my point is this. Utilize the simple solutions that Eakin has and just ask more questions of people. What are you doing for water? Hey, there's a boil water alert in Texas right now and a lot of other states. What does your family do for water? Because our families discovered this amazing solution. So just some tips there at the end, but check it out. Use the recordings. Use those sizzle calls, and you never know who you're going to impact. It's so much fun. So thank you again, Dad. So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Eakin, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.